Hi, lovely listeners. My name is Lisa Marie Imre, and I am the host of Coffee and Crime, a true crime podcast, where each week I sit down with a cup of coffee and talk about any kind of true crime story. So if you are interested in true crime, which I bet you are since you're here listening to this amazing podcast, or you like drinking coffee, then feel free to give Coffee and Crime a listen to. It is available on all major podcast platforms. You can also find Coffee and Crime on Facebook or Instagram, where the DMs are always ready for you to slide in with your thoughts and feelings, recommendations, or anything true crime related. So until then, be safe, be good, be better, and all that cheesy crap, and I will catch you guys over at Coffee and Crime.
Hey guys, this is Kendra just popping in really quick as I was typing up the description. I realized we did not put a trigger warning at the beginning of this episode. So trigger warning right now, this does involve the death of children. If you do not want to hear about that, please go ahead and skip the next couple episodes of April's and we will catch you on another one.
Hey everybody, this is Kendra.
And this is April.
And you're listening to Nocturnal Distraction.
That was like the longest yet 12 seconds I've had to wait. That one went on forever.
She did do a faux pas with her words. She's like, okay, I gotta do 12 minutes of quiet. I'm like, 12 minutes? I'm like, I'd love to see you sit for 12 minutes silent.
That's
it wouldn't happen.
Not how that one would
at all.
Down.
It would be funny.
Yeah.
Although it would also be kind of like boring.
It would be
really awkward.
It would be really awkward.
Like if you just sat there looking at me for like 12 minutes and didn't say a word, I would be like, nope, not doing this. Like,
that would be creepy. And I would. I would just sit there like.
And look at me.
I'd probably pick my nose too.
I'd be like, she's gone mute today. She has become a, what was the guy in the story that I did? Oh my God, words. So not select, where they decide to be mute.
What was the word?
I don't know.
Fuckery.
Anyway, that thing.
That thing right there.
when you decide that you just don't want to talk and without any medical reason.
Monks do that.
They take the vow of silence sometimes. Not always.
I totally feel like I want to be a monk sometimes. Just go to the Himalayan mountains and just fucking be there without people or technology or anything and just be quiet. I'm so sick and tired of vocals.
Well, and I think that the biggest thing is like people are so uncomfortable with silence.
Mm-hmm.
Like they feel like they have to fill it. And that's why it would be interesting to do like a vow of silence when you're around other people who are silent, right? Because otherwise it would be really hard to take that vow. But if everybody's silent, then you have to like work through stuff on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Type of a thing. And then you're comfortable with silence. And then that freaks other people out.
Yeah. I fucking love it.
Like, it's some people who can't be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm totally fine being alone.
You say this, Kendra, you do realize I had to work through being alone problems.
I know.
No, but like, it's hard. It's very hard.
Well, for me, it was the opposite. Like I had to work at being around people.
Mm-hmm. And now I am so okay and comfortable with being
mm-hmm.
with myself, except for when I get sometimes I go stir crazy,
yeah,
right?
But that's just normal.
Yeah.
That's normal. But it's like, I'm not one of those people that like, I have to be around people constantly to like be whatever.
Right. And it's such a relief not having to be that person anymore. Mm-hmm. Like it takes a lot of energy, always needing to find somebody to be around and always needing .. Like my brain seemed a whole lot lighter. I had all this free time to like put my mind to other things
mm-hmm.
when I wasn't concentrating on fucking being around people all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are some people that, I mean, not knocking people who are around people all the time. My boyfriend is one of those people.
Yeah.
That's him. That's not me.
That's true.
That causes some issues sometimes.
That's a little bit of a problem. We're working on it, though.
We're working on it.
Yep.
We are. It's a compromise thing. Like, he knows he's got to let my battery recharge, but I got to learn to, like, do stuff like go to a fancy dinner thing for his work in a month.
And dress up.
And dress up. I gotta wear a fucking dress.
But she's wearing sneakers, so she's not going all... Yeah,
I'm not doing heels. Sandals will be, like, the dressiest that... That,
that, that, that goes.
What did I say? I'm like a drunken flamingo on my heels.
Yes.
Like, she's like, I look fine if I stand still, but as soon as I gotta walk,
it's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah, I'd fall over and break something. Like, for real, I'd break my ankle.
I don't want to see that, but I just want to see that. Do you know what I mean?
I don't want to see it, but I want to see it. Especially on, like, the wooden floor in here. Can you imagine, like...
Can we just do that scene right here, right today? We don't got to leave the house.
I don't even have anybody. Heels.
I got some for you. No, oh, I'm God. Joking. Aubrey, I just decided we were going to practice heel walking today.
I would have to practice. It would be terrible.
Oh, my God.
It would be terrible. Like, no. Like, any school homecoming dances, like, I'd have the shoes on for, like, pictures, and they'd be off.
And they, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And eventually, by junior, senior year, I didn't even try with, like, I just wore flip-flops. Like, I'm like, nope.
You're like, fuck this shit.
Yep. I was like, nope.
I went to homecoming. I didn't even wear shoes. I just walked in the building, no shoes. Like, they're gonna fucking end up off of my feet anyways.
Yeah. And that was back in the day, when the dresses were long.
Yeah.
And not short, so, like, you couldn't really even tell anyway. Not that I cared. And, like, even when I wore a shorter one, I wore flip-flops because I wasn't trying to be, like, older.
Right.
Or mature. Or
you're like, I'm not fucking mature. I'm 16, 17 years old, all
right? And people. I just, like, once you, it's weird because you hit that junior, senior year, right? You're not trying to impress anybody anymore. And, like, you're just like, whatever, like. I'm not going to go get my hair done anywhere. I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to spend $150 on a dress. I'm going to buy one off the sale rack or borrow one from a friend.
It's lost. You're no longer jaded by the entire situation.
Yeah.
Like, it's lost. It's
And then it starts over again when you get to college. Because freshman year of college, like, you're trying to impress, like, you know, I'm in college, you know, whatever. And then by the time you hit senior year, like, you're in your pajamas all day long.
Right.
You don't care. Like, you got your hair up in a bun. You don't got no makeup on. Like,
you get to class barely.
Yeah, or... half drunk. I might have done that a couple times. The notes from those days were interesting. Like, I mean, I look at him like 3 days later and I'm like,
oh,
wow. I thought my handwriting was bad normally.
That's great.
So that was like a hungover / falling asleep writing. And you've seen my writing when I'm falling asleep because I write some weird shit. I just start writing out whatever I'm dreaming.
Yeah, what the fuck did you put on that one thing?
That has that like, notebook. I have that Facebook somewhere. I'll have to find my God, picture. Like, okay, so this is what I do. Like, if I'm doing something and I'm really tired and I'm like writing something out or typing something, I will start falling asleep and dreaming. And I will start to type or write whatever it is that I am dreaming. Right. It's the weirdest thing. And then I will read it and I'm like...
It's something like the cat ran away with the horse and the monkey...
And there was a hot dog somewhere
Yeah,
in there.
There was a hot... I mean, yeah. It was fucking... It's good shit right there.
It's... I'll have to find that. I'm going to have to find that picture on Facebook and I'm going to definitely post it because... Like, that's the only time I dream is like right when I'm falling asleep. Like, that's the only thing.
What were you doing? Were you doing the, you were,
I was doing the notebooks, right? For the convention.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, scratch that notebook.
Yeah, they're going to think, yeah. Okay, so that was fucking. All right.
Okay. sorry. Announcement. I did update our map of the United States and the states. And so I've got all of those colored in that I will post.
And it's
missing. Missing 14
states.
Yeah,
nice.
Right now, so Washington, Idaho, Nevada, New Mexico, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vermont, Maine, Alaska, and Hawaii need to get on board.
Come on, people, get on board.
And I wrote down where in these different countries we actually have. I have not heard back from Miss New Zealand yet.
So we don't know how to pronounce something.
Coffee and crime, you know who you are.
You're slacking.
So New Zealand, we have Auckland, Manawatu, Wanganui.
Is that the one you needed help with? Okay.
Well, all this one too. Waikato? Do not come for me on any of these pronunciations. Australia, we've got Western Australia, New South Wales, Victoria, Finland. We've got Finland proper. Perkinma. Yusama.
Okay, there's a lot of ma.
Yeah, and like I said, those are probably way wrong. United Kingdom, we've got England and Wales still. Canada, Ontario, British Columbia, Nova Scotia, Peru, Lima, the Philippines, Metro Manila, Mexico, Veracruz, Netherlands, South Holland.
Wow.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 other countries besides the United States.
Nice. Since you have that out, you should write all the .coms and stuff so I could read it off tonight.
Oh, I will do that because it's your story tonight.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Are we doing a trailer? Are we shouting out anybody?
You know what? I'm going to put a trailer on there. I'm going to put Coffee and Crime, the Miss New Zealand that I have not heard back from. Tonight.
And I've started listening to some of the you guys' podcasts. And I've listened to a couple. And they're really fucking... I can't remember what they are. So I got to make a list. And I know that sounds like I'm bullshitting, but I'm not.
You should be able to go back to your Spotify and look through your history.
Ooh, look at that. Probably.
But anyway, Coffee and Crime. Yeah. She's from New Zealand. So I love listening to her just because she has an accent. So that automatically makes it cooler. And she's the one, I think I've talked about her before, the one that with the distances, like we don't realize how big the United States is distance wise between places until you hear somebody else talk. And she's just like I love, because she's just like, I know it sounds really, I don't know what right now, like geographically challenged, but like this just seems like really big space. And I'm like, it is kind of a big space, huh?
Uh-huh.
It does take a while to get across this place. No wonder we have planes.
No wonder why we have those things that are in the air.
Like, you know, you don't drive 2 hours and you're in another country here. You drive 2 hours, you're in the same freaking state still.
That is odd.
Unless you're in, like freaking Rhode Island. Rhode Island, maybe not.
Fucking odd to think that people drive and then they're in another country. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's weird to me that they're so tiny.
I know.
The world is a big fucking place.
I know.
And we're all in one fucking area of the world. Like, you know what I mean? I know we're everywhere, but there's a mass amount that's not being utilized.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it's frozen, and we're not even going to go there, so...
But, yeah. So, anyway, you guys should listen to her. She does some good shit. Plus, she has an accent, which I love the ones... I love anyone who has... an accent that's not an American. We have an American accent. Apparently we do.
Well, I don't know how we do when we don't have a language.
But I mean, when you think about it, to anybody else, we have an accent.
Uh-huh.
Just like everybody else has an accent to us.
So. And it's even, which is interesting, you know how like in England, the farther north you go or south you go, it gets thicker and it's more...
Well, it's like here, you have the southern.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. When you go down south,
and then when you go
harder.
North, you got the Minnesotan.
Don't you know?
Don't you know? And you got the y'alls.
The y'alls.
Even though I use that in chat rooms because it's just easier than saying you all. I just think that sounds weird, so I put y'all.
Right.
But yeah, that's the Midwest tier for you, you know, because we're smack dab in the freaking middle. Look, if you look at a T-Mobile 5G map with all the pink around it, you will find Nebraska. Why? Because there's a perfect outline of where there's not a pink dot.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Have you never looked at that map?
No.
Okay, I will have to show it to you later, too, because there's literally the outline of Nebraska is black. There's no towers.
We're
in
the only...
Pretty much. Like, everywhere else, there's, like, pink dots, but, like, around, like, you can find the exact borders of Nebraska right in the middle of the United States.
That's great. While we're doing this, I need you to find that.
I will.
You could even use my phone.
I know. I'm going to write down this other stuff.
Oh, yes, please do. And then I'll get started on this podcast. Are you guys ready to listen to some, like, shit?
She's got an older story, but it's a spooky-ish one.
Yes. I love the old ones. I just like old shit. Okay. Here we go.
Old shit and tiny shit.
Old shit and tiny shit. You can't go wrong.
That sounds really terrible.
Yes, it does. Oh my god. All right. So today we're gonna do a story. It's an American haunting. It's in American hauntings. I believe that's like it's like a magazine book type thing. You know how like you have a TV show and it has
this is a series
type thing.
Kind of like Paranormal Witness.
Yeah. And it's the Evangelista occult murder. I hope I'm saying that right. I feel like I should be saying that, right? Okay, now this is one of the most sinister crimes in Detroit history. On July 3rd, 1929, police officers walked into a house located at 3587 St. Aubin Street, A-U-B-I-N, right? Street, Aubin.
Is that here in the United States?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Detroit.
I'd say it's Aubin.
Okay. in Detroit. Inside, they found a man named Benny Evangelista seated behind his desk. His hands were neatly folded at his lap as though to pray. His head was at his feet, lying on the floor.
So not attached to his body.
Yeah, like chop the fuck off.
That seems like a very odd position. Oh, got it.
Right.
It's not attached.
It took me a minute to like get there, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay then.
Mm-hmm. And then upstairs.
As if it wasn't bad enough.
Right. They found Miss Santina Evangelista and their children Mario, 18 months, Angela, 7, Margaret, 5, Jenny, 4.
That's not cool.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to guess they're not alive. Okay.
Santa was in their bed with the baby. Santina?
Yeah.
Okay. Santina was in their bed with baby Mario. Her head had been severed, and Mario's skull was crushed. Mm. Across the hall, the other children had been slaughtered in their beds. Like, what the fuck?
That's like, I always feel things like that are very personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to do that to an entire family, like, it would have to be a personal thing. Because, first of all, any kind of stabbing, whatever, like, that's personal anyway, because you got to be up close to them. But
with the head?
Oh, with the head. Like that, and that's got to mean something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, most people don't decapitate people for, like, if they don't know them.
Right. You just
that sounds
kind of
weird to say,
them.
Like, you don't usually get decapitated by people you don't know.
You don't,
so watch out for the people you know.
Don't die around that person.
They might decapitate you if they know you.
Just fucking saying. But you are right. I didn't even think about that. Like, as I remember what I was reading and stuff, it's very personal.
Yeah, it is. That's a very what they always say. Thing. Like, usually if it's not personal, it's going to be like gun. It's going to be death by gun. But anything stabbing, choking, whatever, anything where you have to be close to the person, like, it's usually...
Because that takes a lot. Like, you have to have some anger and hate to actually physically...
To strangle somebody?
Yeah, stab them, or to do anything that it's
like
not...
That. And people, this is weird when I'm going to say it, just because it's not, you know, it's one of those things, but obviously you've listened to enough podcasts. Like, to strangle someone to death, that takes, first of all, it takes a lot of time. Like, it's not just like a 30 seconds and they're dead. Like, you like have to choke them for like 5 minutes straight.
Holy fuck.
Because if you don't, then they're just gonna start, like, they might pass out, but they're gonna start breathing again.
Right.
So like, you like it, and it takes a lot of strength to do that. And that's why you wind up with like I think it's the hyoid in the neck broken.
Oh shit.
Like, so, like, that takes a long time. So, like, whenever I hear about someone, it's like, oh, it was rough sex. And I'm like, really? Really? Because it takes a long time to strangle someone to death. Like, you literally strangled them that long and didn't realize anything?
Right.
Was wrong? Like,
I didn't even think about that. Now, all those times when I heard somebody say, oh, you know, like, it was death of sex or something.
And
like,
it's like, once they passed out and stopped moving, like, you should have stopped, mm-hmm. And they should have started to breathe again.
Right.
But you went beyond that. And then, like, stabbing, like, when you hear somebody that's gotten stabbed, like, 30 times, like imagine, I don't even know what to compare it to, like, with one arm, like, raising it up and down 30 times and into something.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's...
And getting it out, that's a lot of
arm strength and time.
And resistance and, yep. Like, doing that whole thing. And even if you're a bodybuilder, doing that in that motion. Like, you have to be angry and you have to be, like, in it to win it. And
there's no... That's not an accident there.
No.
Like, strangling or stabbing somebody or whatever, that's not an accident.
You stab somebody a couple times, you realize, oh, shit, I'm stabbing you, and then you stop.
But even then, I mean, right. You know, I mean, like,
what the fuck you're doing?
I mean, the self-defense, you usually stop after they're kind of like,
exactly. Subdued. That's what I was talking about. Like, oh shit, okay, maybe I should back up.
But it's when you like keep going that you get in trouble. Because it doesn't become self-defense anymore. It becomes
like, and the strangulation with sex is a climax thing. Like, it's possible for a woman to climax for 5 minutes, but it takes a whole lot of like.
But is the guy climaxing for 5 minutes?
Yeah, too? Like,
come on. Like, I know they get a little retarded afterwards. Yeah. But like, they're usually kind of like wobbly. They're not going to have the strength to like continually choke somebody.
Exactly. So you're not choking to climax for 5 minutes and not know that they're not climaxing. Motherfucker's dead.
Yeah, they're not breathing.
Just throwing it out there.
I'm just saying. So that was a little bit of a tangent, but I was just, I'm just thinking. That's personal.
That's personal right there because we chopped off a head. All right.
Two heads.
Two heads. Bashed in a fucking baby skull. You
and
know,
then
like,
slaughtered another three.
Yeah. You've got some issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like anybody kills a child, no matter how they killed them, it's an issue.
I agree. That now it just got serious all of a sudden. Sorry. With myself. That, no, that's okay. You just
but
got
it's
me.
True.
It is very true. So the story of Detroit occult murder is one of the strangest in American crime. It's the story of black magic, murder, and a clever and enterprising man who came to destroy with a strange dream and who made use of the opportunity he found in the city that was bursting at the seams in those days. Immigrants from around the world had flocked to Detroit, hoping to capture their piece of the American dream in the factories that had brought the city to life.
That makes sense, because that was right at the start of, like, cars.
Mm-hmm. Sadly, many of them found overcrowded wooden tenements, brutal work conditions, and death.
Yeah.
And that is so fucking true, like... But I'm trying to think, like, people are like, oh, we're going to go to America, right? Mm-hmm. And it's new. So in your mind, you have to think it's new. It needs to be built. It's not done. So you had to have known and just think about what it's like in your country. But when you just want to get out of your country and whatever's going on there, yeah. And you want a new chance, you're not thinking about that.
Well, you're thinking of the American dream because, I mean, it's still sold that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people still talk about the American dream.
But
it's not the same now as it was. It wasn't even the same in the 1920s as it was in, like, the early 1800s, late 1800s. Because
what was the American dream, though?
Like, it was starting from nothing and becoming something. And you were able to do that at one time because right. There were people that came over here with literally nothing and they became millionaires by becoming major players in industries that were brand new because yeah. You didn't have to have experience. You didn't have to have a college degree. You didn't have to do whatever. You could literally become whatever you wanted to.
Right. And you weren't being oppressed by your country. Like, people came here mm-hmm. and they were free to be
whatever.
Right. Okay. So that
means like you could come here and be like, I'm a doctor and nobody was going to question you because
what the fuck?
Who's going to know? Like, you came from another country. They're not going to ask to see your license.
Right. I think people started having to go to school in like 1930. 1920-ish or something
probably
like
somewhere
that
in there.
Like mandatory
and like, you know, being able to prove that you're like a doctor or a lawyer or whatever
uh-huh.
But otherwise you could just go to another town on the train, get off and be like, I'm a lawyer
uh-huh
and okay,
people believed you and that
cool,
was that.
You're the only one in town.
That's fucking awesome.
So like you could literally be whatever you wanted to be
huh.
Like that was kind of the American dream. But there was also really shitty things where the factory work was shitty because there was no OSHA laws. There was no, like, maximum number of hours. There were no break requirements, you know.
It was just work and just work.
Sweat shops, mm-hmm. literally.
And everything still needed to be made and this. Mm-hmm. And even though you're supposed to come here and be able to be free of who you are, there was still the prejudice. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a whole lot.
Oh, there was.
Like,
the Irish got it really bad. The Chinese got it really bad. Which is just crazy to me because, like, we're all coming over here as immigrants, but we still
right.
had prejudice against certain
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, like, people were coming over here because people were hating on them because of their beliefs or because of dot, dot, dot. That's why they came here. And then you come here and then you do that to other people coming here. Like, what kind of fucking sense?
Oh, no, that doesn't. Look, there's a whole lot of stuff in American history we get into that makes no sense. Oh, like, for example, the Native Americans.
Just throwing it fucking out there.
Like, that was fucked up, you guys.
I was rocking Nako today, and he has this one song, Build a Bridge. Fucking beautiful song. If you guys don't know who Nako is, he's amazing. Listen to him. He does peaceful protesting for the pipeline. And so there's that.
But yeah, like, let's face it. Us white people were fucking pricks when it came to the Native Americans. What the hell? It makes me angry thinking about it.
It does.
And I can't do anything about it, obviously. It already happened. Other than being like, that's fucked up and we need to tell more people.
Agreed.
Go on.
You're like, go on.
We're gonna
okay. I got in an argument with somebody about that. And I should just... born in Nepal. Or Napolis. Is it Nepal or Napolis?
Napolis is
okay. Italy. In 1885, Benjamin Minjo Evangelista was best known as Benny Evangelista, a self-proclaimed divine prophet. Benny came to America in 1904 and invested his savings in real estate, soon emerged as a prosperous realtor and landlord. On the side, he supplemented his income by the sale of herbs, hexes, and spiritual remedies, performing chants, dances, and animal sacrifices, or paying customers for the purposes of either cures or curses. So he just dabbled in it all, you know.
Other than the animal sacrifices, I'm okay with most of that. You know,
right?
The animal sacrifice, no, not cool. But the herbs and the, you know, that's cool. And you know, we burn sage and shit.
Exactly. Exactly.
But the animal sacrifice, I'm not down with that.
But he hadn't started out in America at Detroit X-Men. He had originally settled in Pennsylvania with his brother Antonio, but the two of them had a falling out. Antonio, by his own account, disowned Benjamin, we're just going to call him Benny.
Benjamino.
Get all tongue-tied with that. When he began having mystic visions of very non-Catholic nature that were not...
Wait, so he was starting to hallucinate?
Well, I think that you know, Catholics are very strict, and this is what you do. And what he was doing was outside of that.
Oh, yeah, that's a no-no.
And
he was doing some very much like...
And his brother was like...
According to them, it would be dark.
Magic. And devilish. Oh, and so his brother was like, you got to go. And so he sent him to New York, Pennsylvania, and a job on the railroad construction crew. Benny's friend in York. Oh, in York, Pennsylvania. Not New York. Sorry, my bad. In York, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania's got interesting town names, I'm just saying. There's one called Blue Ball.
Are you serious?
And another one called...
You know what's interesting? What I just found out not too long ago in the last like 7 years or so, towns they're named after people's last names because they see the whatever and they just named it what their last name was.
Well, these are Amish towns, which is really funny because there's one called Blue Balls and then there's one called Intercourse.
I want to know what their last names are. I want to know if there's somebody with that last name or they just decided to.
I think it's because
they're Amish.
They have Blue Balls. And
all
aren't
the time.
Allowed to have intercourse.
this is where you go.
That's how they like that. I don't even know.
If you're experiencing blue balls and you're cranky, you want to be on this side.
Like, because
if you're thinking about intercourse too much.
I just think it's hilarious that they're Amish towns that are named those names. Because I got a keychain from there. It says, like, I love intercourse, Pennsylvania.
I bet once you get married, you're allowed to go to intercourse later.
Maybe. Otherwise, you have blue balls.
Oh, my God. That's fucking great.
Or when they're on their ROM I don't know what it's called when they're
so Ramshan,
yeah, or whatever that is. Like, maybe that's where they hang out, is intercourse.
Right?
Like,
fucking great. Ooh, okay, so Benny's best friend in York, another immigrant for Napolis, was a man named Aureus. Aureus?
Aurelius.
Aurelius. Okay.
What was I supposed to
Angelo. Oh, you're looking up the state of Nebraska with the... Okay. The two of them began to dabble in the occult. Something snapped in Angelo, and in 1919, he attacked his family with an axe and killed two of his children. He was sent to a prison for the criminally insane, and Benny, unsettled by what had occurred, moved to Detroit.
Okay, I'm going to look up really quick because I don't know the definition of a cult, so I just wanted to look that up really quick because I've never really thought about what the definition of a cult is. Not a cult, but like occult, is what she's saying, which is supernatural, mystical, or magical beliefs, practices, or phenomena. Or it's of, involving, or related to supernatural, mystical, or magical powers, such as a follower of occult practices similar to voodoo. Just putting that definition
now
out there.
Why don't you give us the definition of the other one?
Of like an actual cult?
Yeah.
A cult, I'm pretty sure. A cult is a group of people that have similar beliefs or practices.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what that is.
Look up the word esoteric. I fucking love this word.
How do you spell it?
E-S.
Oh, there it is. Esoteric. Esoteric, intended for or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialized knowledge or interest. Kind of cult stuff then.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that we could be considered a cult.
Mm-hmm. Lots of things.
A-A-N-N-A.
Just fucking throwing it out.
It's funny, but it's true. If you go by the definition of what a cult is, it's a group of people with the same beliefs and...
Mm-hmm. It's funny. And you said you've never looked those up. What the fuck we have?
Well, I've never looked up a cult.
Oh, okay.
Like the O-C-C-U-L-T. Oh, okay. Like I've looked up cult, mm-hmm. but I've never looked up a cult.
Yeah.
Which is confusing when you're just listening to it because it sounds like a cult. No, it's a cult.
Yeah. I thought the two were the same thing until
So that's why I wanted to clarify what that actually
is. Why, thank you very much, Andrew.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Benny went to work as a carpenter, began to dabble in real estate, and got married, settled comfortably in his new life. He returned to his interest in the occult. Like, so he had established himself. You know, he didn't mm-hmm. want to bring that baggage and get, because face it, you come into a town with that kind of stuff right away, you know, you're going to have haters and not. He gained himself some credibility.
Yeah.
Then he began performing psychic healings on those who paid his fee, which was high as $10. And back in 1929, that was a good amount of money.
Chunk of change then. Uh-huh. Was that like an hourly
fee? Equivalent of 2 days pay on the assembly line.
Shit.
Out there, he did quite well for himself, and he moved his wife and his children into a house. Damn,
told you. That's sorry. Funny. I just showed her the T-Mobile map.
That is fucking. What do we got against T-Mobile?
I mean, what does T-Mobile have against us?
Yeah, T-Mobile.
It's like covered up in Montana and Wyoming.
He did quite well for himself. We're going to go back to that picture, and moved his wife and children into a house at the corner of Saint Aubin. And Mac Avenue. This Mary Mac, all dressed in black. Do you remember that song? I love it. Okay, it was a large and comfortable home painted green with a white front porch. And I just see
Does
Victorian.
Does it have a picket fence too?
No, but it should. It was said that if a passerby cocked his head just right, he could see inside the basement window and view Benny's great Celtic... celestial planet.
How much of it?
Oh my god, so $10 back in 1920 was $148. fuck.
So that's the equivalent of today. It would be $148.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay that fucking much for that shit.
Well, but he was making bank then.
Yeah, if I made money, I probably would too.
So.
So
they had a house that was green with white.
Yep. And if you cocked your head and you'd look, a great celestial planet exhibition. E-X-H-I-B-I-T-I-O-N.
Yeah, exhibition.
Okay. See, you know, all the same. I was close because the E and the X, and there were some N's in there. Using paper mache, wires, and wood, he had built 9 planets and a sun with an electric eye that sat in the center of
it. So they had like
a planetarium.
Yes, type. Yeah. They had like a planetarium.
Like, so they had the cool house, like, that's on the cool. Kid. Yeah, like, so when I think about this, it's, you know, if he would have just moved in with having all that stuff, like, he would have been shunned. But now, like, he established some credit. He was an innovator. You know, he was thinking outside of the box, and he did well for himself and his family. And
he was able to have a really sweet planetarium.
Mm-hmm. And his neighbors, like, nobody had any fucking issue with him at all under any circumstances.
That's.
But what passerbys could not see was the basement chambers where Benny practices his.
Nothing ever good happens in a basement.
No, his rituals, you know, in that place where he mixed up spells, hexes, potions, and carried out his magical sacrifices. He kept a crude altar along with knives, bottles, and jars, copies of self-published books. And there was an old history of the world discovered by occult scientists in Detroit, Michigan, were stacked around the room. Benny claimed to have produced the books through a series of night trances.
Like, he was in a trance and wrote the books?
Mm-hmm. Kind of like when somebody, like, a possession.
Kind of like thing. The stuff I write when I'm asleep?
Yeah! Except for his makes sense. I love you.
I mean,
to somebody it could make sense. It could.
It made sense to me because I knew what was going on, kind of. Okay.
So he was, like, basically full. He was, like, in a delirium. Oh, it almost reminds me of, like, a schizophrenic, almost. A well-covered schizophrenic. But, I mean, it's true stuff. Like, people do believe this. But, I mean, he'd be in a trance, and he began writing all of these books in 1906. Nobody's ever seen them, but it's just, like, his, well, you know? I mean,
that could kind of make sense. Because, like, Salvador Dali, for example, you know those paintings that he did, which were really very, like, hallucinogenic?
I'm,
like,
shaking my head. I don't know.
Ones? Well, the melting clocks.
Okay.
And he's the one who did that. What he would do is he would sit in a chair with a bell in his hand, like a jingle bell, and he would go and fall asleep. And when his hand dropped, because he's going to sleep, and the bell would wake him up, he would quickly, like, sketch out what he was dreaming. And that's how he got an idea for some of his paintings.
Oh, you want to know who else did that? Nostradamus. Nostradamus? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I always thought that was really interesting.
That is.
But he was also a really stuck up, kind of conceited person. But anyway.
Motherfucking
stuck up. But he had really great paintings.
You're like, but his paintings were great.
They were. They're really trippy.
He said it was the first in a series of 4 books that would reveal previously unknown information relayed to him from God. So, like,
but he never shared them with anybody.
Well, no, just the people close to him, because I think that people would react to a certain way. There's people that knew, but no, he didn't, like, share.
Well, I mean, that'd be like somebody nowadays doing something like that. Like, you don't go around telling a whole bunch of people about it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, because he obviously had said that to some people.
Yeah.
But unfortunately for Benny and his family, fate had other plans in store. One sunny morning of July 4th, the Detroit Free Press broke the horrific story of the Evangelista murder. A man named Vince Elias. I fucking.
Where are you at?
Oh, down here. I feel like it's Elise or something.
Elias.
Elias. Thank you. Like, you want to know what? I know these, but I feel like I'm going to fuck them up. So then I just am like, I don't know what I'm doing. Okay.
That's what you have a Kendra for.
Yes. He come to Benny's home on July 3rd, about 10:30 a.m. to discuss a real estate deal. He had been the one who discovered the bodies and alerted the police. Nearly the entire Detroit Homicide Division was dispatched immediately to the crime scene.
I would hope so.
Right.
And I mean, that's a crime scene to walk in on.
And that's not something that was seen all of the time. You know, like,
it's not even seen nowadays all the time. I mean, that was like...
Like today, it's not, oh, somebody did all of that. That fucking sucks. But then it was like, holy.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And where do you even start?
Exactly.
It's not like they had forensic tools.
Mm-hmm. Or can trace histories because they're coming, they're immigrants, came from here.
Well, yeah.
There's not a whole lot to go off
of. Fingerprints, DNA, like that was
not a thing.
100 years, almost, not 100 years, but it was quite a few years before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Nearly the entire was dispatched immediately to the crime scene. When the police arrived, they searched the house and made notes of some of the odd things they found. One of the strangest discoveries was that someone had surrounded Benny's severed head with three large frame photographs of a child in a coffin. It was later determined it was the post-mortem photograph of Benny's son who had died several years before.
I mean, which isn't weird because they did death photos all the time.
Yeah.
But there's got to be some significance to that. Yeah. For it to be surrounding his head.
Exactly. Exactly. There was no explanation as to what message the photographer were intending to convey. The photographs were conveying. The newspaper noted that some other odd discoveries. And one of those was several pieces of women's undergarments, each tagged with the name of the owners. Police pointed out, revealing that the so-called mystic indulged in like their sacrifices and mm-hmm. all of that stuff had in voodooism and devil worshiping. There was garments,
but they weren't garments that belonged to anybody in the house.
No. And like what they're saying is like having all those garments wasn't unusual because they practiced voodoo and stuff, but the garments, they had names on them.
Well, weren't names of anybody that actually lived there.
No, it wasn't.
So I wonder if he had to have something personal item wise, because with voodoo, you usually mm-hmm. have to have something personal of that person.
Voodoo, it can lead to the finding of a missing person when they are properly handled. And that's what they were thinking. Like mm-hmm. people wanted to know because people are coming over from different countries or leaving on vacation or going to, and you never see them again because you mm-hmm. don't know what happens. And so he was trying to do things like that. So he was helping the community and like, but there was all of these undergarments everywhere, but just women's.
I mean, I guess I don't know much about undergarments back then and whether men wore boxers or anything or they just freeballed it.
Right. But I would assume that for me, when I think about back in those days, it would mostly be women trying to look for husbands because they're the ones who left the home to try to go and do whatever. And from the way that is put, it's like it's mostly women's underwear. So men trying to look for women or like, you know what I mean? It's
or just maybe very odd. It was men who stole underwear from the woman that they're trying to marry and brought it to him to cast love spells.
That could be it.
I mean, that.
Or it There's was monies that they
that like
victims of murder
that could be too.
Yeah, but like, and none of this does it ever talk about him being something like that. I'm at 5% on this thing, so
you would think that he would maybe be doing some sort of spell like that, right?
Yeah,
and it could be that one of them didn't work and the dude got pissed off.
That's true. That is very, very true. Is this going to go? Okay, it's on the top. All right. So, sorry. Okay. That explains a lot of stuff, and I'm not going to talk about that anymore. All right. So, worshiping can lead to finding missing persons and properties. Okay. No one had any clue as to what this meant either, but it was long before rumors spread that Benny's occult dealings had caused his death. And I feel like
true. Yeah. Like, I feel like it was either something that went wrong or something that didn't happen that he promised. And they were not happy with paying him the money that they did.
Mm-hmm. And like,
And they took it out on his whole family.
Yeah, because nowadays we know, like, well, I mean, some people believe it intentively, and there are spirits and all that stuff, but the devil's not going to come and, like, I just don't.
No, it, yeah.
I mean, 90% of the time or 100% of the time, it's a human being, you know, but back typically, then,
yeah.
Like, they didn't know that. I can see them looking at this like, oh my God, this is how come we don't do that.
Nah, you know what yeah, I mean? I can see that back then, them being like, this is what happens when you try to do dark, what they would consider dark magic.
Right. I wonder how many people went like running around like, oh my God, and like going to church and praying like, I didn't do it on purpose. You know what I mean?
Like all the ones that went to him were like,
right.
Okay, am I next?
I know, right? The
they wake up every morning. Is my head still attached?
Right? The whole Detroit area is like scrambling with like, people.
All of a sudden, the churches are like packed every freaking day. And like right? The confessionals, they got lines and like.
Yep. The police failed to keep newspaper reporters and the dozens of ongoer people walking gathered around the house from contaminating the crime
that's
scene.
The other thing is that people would literally they would that's like their entertainment, like they wouldn't just want to read about the news, they want to go and look at the shit. Because that happened a lot, like a lot of those old cases, like they would have people would come from all over to walk through and like take little pieces from wherever. Like
bored people where there was nothing to fucking do.
And that's the problem with a lot of those really old crimes too, is because it's contaminated and evidence went missing because somebody took it as a souvenir.
Right. And you know, the more I like the, and you've touched on this before in past episodes, but the fascination people have with death.
Yeah.
And like getting to, even well, especially from way murders back then, like yeah, that. Like that's what people want to fucking deal with. So of course, if you're an attention seeking fucking kumquat fucking like that one. What is that bitch's?
Cump Meg?
Yeah. What the fuck was her name?
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth. Of course, the first thing you're going to do is go to murder. All these people, it's like a murder. I'm going to get attention because that's what human
they
beings
want. They
want
to be part of it.
Right. And that's so sad.
It is. But what are we doing?
I know. That was.
However, I'm not going to go. I'm not a looky-loo for that kind of shit. And there's people that are still like nowadays.
Yeah, people that like want, like this other case that I'm gonna do, this guy had watched a horror story and came obsessed with killing somebody to the point he actually killed his girlfriend.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And that's why you have a lot of crime scene photographers who watch the crowd that gathers, because they'll come back and revisit the scene to see the mayhem that they've caused.
Yeah, that is true.
Same thing with arsonist.
And there is like something about like, okay, so I used to be a fighter when I was younger, and there's something about like flesh hitting flesh. You know, I it gives me a rush, a high. I don't fucking put my hands on anybody today. You know, I've learned better behaviors about myself and stuff, but violence attracts a good amount of people. And it's just, I don't know.
But it's just, it depends on why you're attracted to it. Or find it fascinating, because obviously, look at me, I find it fascinating. I'm not violent.
Not at all. I
but
was
it's
a bully
more
is to
of
bully.
Like, it's more of like the psychological, like I want to try to figure like why.
Right. And mine was bully to bullies and like that self-learned behavior. I never understood how you could hit somebody and like be so abusive and stuff like that. Was so confusing to me, yet I ended up being one of those abusers because I thought I was doing something good to
and
bullies,
that's what,
you know?
That's what happens. Sometimes the people that are the biggest bullies are because they've been bullied themselves. Mm-hmm. Not always.
Well, no, like I didn't just run around bullying.
No.
Being an asshole. Like I was like, fuck you. And I beat their ass. Like you can't fight fire with fire. I thought, okay, I'm going to whoop your ass and you're going to learn not to whoop it or touch anybody else's. Like the fucking sense that makes.
See, and that's why I'm always like, how does war work? How do we kill for peace?
Right. Dude, I'm going to have to do this scene. There's this show that I'm watching. It's an anime, Naruto. And at the end of it, they explain this thing perfectly. And I was snot rocketing and crying during this fucking cartoon. You're going to love it. Okay, so this is going to be a two-parter, people. One, because I've talked a lot. And two, because
like we've gotten off on tangents, but it's also
related. Yeah, and plus I feel like this one deserves to be a two-parter. So there's just a little bit more that
which is very strange for April, everyone. Like, I think last time was my shortest episode ever, and she's doing it too.
Right? This is exciting.
What's happening?
Strange things are happening.
October.
The moon.
It's October.
So people destroyed any potential clues except for one, a bloody fingerprint on the front doorknob. To make matters even more difficult, most of Benny's neighbors had and clients they were from Sicily and Italy, the immigrants, and they were reluctant to provide any information to law enforcement.
Well, of course, you don't want to like admit to being involved in any of that,
especially when you're a fucking Catholic.
Well, that the dude just got beheaded. Yeah. I'm not saying shit.
Right, I'm going back to church.
Yeah, like I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And yes. Detectives were unable to compel even one of them to make any official statements that could have proven at least some starting point at which they can launch their investigation. Benny owned records and collections of personal trinkets found in the home proved that hundreds of people had come to him for services, but scarcely. S-C-A-R-C-E-L-Y?
Yeah, scarcely.
Okay. A handful of those questioned admitted to they didn't even admit to knowing him.
Well, and that's the thing, because I mean, look at confessions or anything nowadays, like information that police get from other people. You have to have them basically under arrest for something else before you get anything out of them. Now, if they don't have anything to arrest these people on, what purpose do they have to say anything? Especially when the dude and his whole family just got murdered.
There's another little like side, like another theory, and I think I'm going to touch on that, and then we're gonna
okay.
It said the police used what few clues they had to pursue three very different theories. One of them revolved around several notes found in the home that suggested Benny had once been threatened by the Black Hand, a criminal group that preyed on wealthy Italian men. The most recent letter was 6 months old and warranted, "This is your last chance." The problem with that Black Hand theory was that by 1929, it was an outdated dysfunction enterprise that had long since evolved into the traditional mafia structured of organization.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they couldn't go kill somebody.
So that's like one thing. If you take away all the devil, blah, 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 yeah, blah.
Which could have all just, I mean, that could have just helped them manage to pull it off. It's because everybody's looking at the occult stuff and not anything else. All right, what's the next?
Crude extortion schemes were a thing of the past, dating back to the years before prohibition became a law of the land. It seems likely that Benny took the note seriously, very seriously. Whoever was trying to extort money from him was almost certainly a amateur looking for an easy mark, not someone who could have carried out the grisly murder of an entire family.
I feel like they underestimate people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, yep. And then the second theory was significantly more plausible, and 42-year-old local man named Umbrio Tecchio had visited the Evangelista's home on the night before the bodies were found. He was making a final payment to the house Benny had sold him. So, like, he was in
Oh, that's right, because he was like a landlord.
Okay. Along with a friend named Angelo DiPoli, who had accompanied him with a friend, or had accompanied him to the house on the night before the murders, were brought in for questioning the next day when an axe, a knee-edged banana knife, what a fucking funny name for a knife, and a pair of suspicious clean work boots were found in the barn behind the hoarder's house where they lived.
That would be a little suspicious, because work boots are not usually clean.
No, they're not.
I'm definitely going to look up that banana knife.
Yes, please do. The two claimed to know nothing about the murder. They both stated that nothing unusual happened during the visit. They had gone out for some drinks after, dropped off the last payment to the Evangelista. But the newspaper largely thinks the prejudice against the Italian immigrants cast suspect on him. So they're like, oh my gosh, it had been you because you're troublemakers and you're dot, 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 dot.
Could be, but it's also really convenient that they have each other as an alibi.
Yeah. Accounts mentioned that the 3 months prior to the massacre, one of the guys had a knife, had knifed his brother-in-law to death in an argument. Why isn't he in prison?
I was about to say, wait a minute now.
Like, why isn't he running around?
1920s were you?
Yeah. How he escaped prosecution for that is unclear.
Probably self-defense or some shit.
But it certainly gave investigators a reason to make him the prime suspect.
Makes sense.
However, no physical evidence and no confession, they let him go. And he died a few years later.
Hmm.
Now, there's also, they says, okay, I'm going to stop right there.
But no, go to
okay,
the
it says,
third
the
one.
Police no, also briefly suspected one of the evangelist's tenants. Obviously, they rented out mm-hmm. these places, you know, accused of murder by his ex-wife.
Oh, he used, ex-wife. Of
the, okay, so remember his friend that was in Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He, the vengeful ex-wife and the dead man thumbprint did him. Oh, no. Okay. No, that's two different ones. So this guy was accused, of killing his ex-wife.
Oh, okay.
But the dead man's, thumbprint didn't match the body. So okay. It wasn't him. Now remember that first friend that was killed or that killed his family and was sent
yes.
to a saint. He escaped.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He,
and I'm assuming he was roaming around at that time?
And was never seen again. After he escaped, nobody ever seen him. Had Angelo somehow made his way to Detroit? You know, where his old friend had set up an entire basement room with certain possibilities, but there is no proof about this, you know? So I'm going to stop there, but like...
I was supposed to say, like it seems like, okay, they've got some good theories, but, like, none of them were really touching on, like, that occult part, you know, and how somebody could be seeking revenge due to something that was happening with that. Which you think?
Well, so, as it touches on that this time, but say this guy, like, gets out of prison and escapes, and he finds out that his friend was living the life, had all this. It's very well plausible.
And I mean, I'm assuming if the dude snapped and killed his whole family, there's something
not right
in the brains.
Yeah.
Something wrong in the membrane.
Yeah, so we'll finish the rest of that.
That is interesting right there.
And this is a cold case that, it's a cold case. It's never.
It's like the Villisca Axe Murder House. Because guess what? You can get away with that shit back then. That's the other thing. Like, you go kill a whole family and...
Yep.
Get on the next train.
Yep.
See ya. Disappear and go say you're a doctor in another town and that's it.
Ta-da!
Change your name. I mean, you don't gotta have a birth certificate shit.
No, you don't.
Nothing.
Birth certificate. Speaking of, I gotta go order mine. What's it called? So, yeah. That's my spooky spy.
That's pretty cool, huh? Nice.
Yeah.
That I'm interested to see how that one turns out there.
And like I feel like it has to touch base somehow with the like the placing of his head, like the way things that were strategically done, it was either made to look like that or it
see,
was.
And that's why I'm thinking that. Like the mafia with that whole thing that could come into it because they played into that to make it look like it had something to do with it. Or I think it was the guy that escaped jail because he obviously would know how to do different things like that. Now the other two, the ones that were going over there just to make a payment, that's really, I mean, like the work boots being cleaned and then the axe and the banana, like that's a little iffy, but not enough that I would consider them super likely.
Right.
Like I feel like it's one of the other two.
Right. And how was his friend? Because back then you didn't have TV, like it was hard to communicate. So if he had just like escaped, how would he know to go to that town? I wonder if they were in communication.
They might have been. They might have been. I mean, you can write people letters still for in prison, and I doubt that they censored them like they do now.
Right, and he probably. I'm thinking, you know, loyalty to this friend helped him get out. because he felt bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We all make mistakes and you were going cuckoo. So come here to my house and then,
we'll get you on your feet. We'll do some spells and make people forget who you are.
And nobody would even know because he's on the run. So you have to keep it hushed hushed.
Yeah.
You know, so nobody would be the wiser.
It's a lot easier to be on the run back then too.
Yeah.
No cell phones to track you. There's no cameras to track you. Don't got closed circuit television all over the place. Like, license plate, social security, like nothing.
Yep.
Credit cards.
Nothing.
Like, let's face it, you guys, if you're even trying to think about getting away with murder nowadays, like, just get that thought out of your head because it's not going to happen.
So do you know what's really interesting, fun fact about our history of the social security number? Like, back
they didn't even start doing that until, I don't know when.
Well, like, if you look on old suitcases, like the trunks and stuff, you'll see numbers. It was their social security numbers. That's how you identify. Obviously, it's your identification. Like, it wasn't this huge, like, you know, but then we started mass producing kids with our penises and our vaginas and
things. Well, that's how that happens.
That's the stork right there for you. I just like to say penis and I like to say vagina. I'm like a four-year-old. Vagina, vagina, vagina.
Virginia. The Virginia. As Charlotte Dobre, one of my favorite YouTubers. The Virginia. She's going to give birth out of her virgina.
That's fucking great. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Our email is nocturnaldistractions@gmail.com. There is a link in the show notes to all the links to our donation, our
Patreon,
thank you,
etc.
Like us on Spotify or Apple, please,
and review us, and we would love you. I mean, we'll still love you, but we'll love you more.
That's gonna sound so it's gonna sound a little less for like the way I read it, like it was scripted. Well, because it wasn't scripted, it's just information.
No, there's so a lot less there than fluid at the beginning when I would just spell everything else out, as opposed to there's a link to all the links.
Right. She made it easy for me, so thank you
for
that.
It's a lot easier for me to type up in the description too.
I love you.
Like, instead of having to type all the links out, just being able to be like, here you go.
There it is. Ta-da! That's fucking great. All right. Well, we love you guys.
Yes, we love you. I'm going to post the picture of our map so everybody knows what states need.
And the writing that she did when she fell asleep.
And the writing when I fell asleep. I'm going to look up a banana knife. You guys should definitely go listen to Coffee and Crime, whose trailer I'm going to put at the beginning of this episode that I forgot to put at the beginning before we started, but it'll be there. Obviously, you'll have listened to it already. And the next time April records, she will do her next part.
Yes.
I have to put part one.
I know!
Holy crap!
That's a high five.
Look at us. We are making it in this world.
I didn't eat anything in this episode. I'm about to munch on some chips. All right. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye.